official K-1 podcast, K-1 Battlecast. You'll get news, fight reviews, and fighter interviews. And now, your hosts, Michael Shaverov and Jonathan Scheer.
It's good night, Iran!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of K1 Battlecast, the official podcast of K1 Worldwide. I'm Michael Shaverov, down under in Melbourne, Australia, joined as always by my verbal sparring partner up in Tokyo, Japan. A big g'day to Jonathan Scheer. G'day, Jonathan.
And a good day to you as well, sir.
Mate, it's great to be back on the podcast airwaves with you again. We've got another big episode as we continue our deep dive into the final eight of the K1 World Max Tournament to be held on July 7 at Yoyogi Arena in Tokyo. And Jonathan, as we tick down to July 7, mate, I've got to say I am bristling with excitement and anticipation.
I couldn't agree more, Michael. There's so much to look forward to. What have we got on our plate?
Today, we will be looking at the Polish hope in the K1 Max final, Kasper Mazinski, a guy who was really an unknown before the final 16, but who indeed shocked the world by qualifying for the final eight tournament. And as you will find out, we do consider him quite the dark horse for the tournament on July 7. But before we get there, Jonathan, there is plenty of news coming out of Tokyo. So take us through this week's big news.
Well, Michael, we have two big announcements this week. The first one is that the fight cards were announced for the 2024 World Grand Prix qualifying tournament in Sarajevo that's taking place on June 29th. And this is being organized, of course, by Javad Potruk, who is a former K1 heavyweight fighter who's in Bosnia. And it's being billed as this battle between the scarred veterans and the young upstarts. And it's kind of like a showdown between lions to see who gets to control the pride. And on the old lion side of the equation, we have Adnan Rezovic, who is the Bosnian lion himself. He's got 43 wins. Get this, 36 by knockout. That's an incredible KO ratio. And apparently is one of the crowd favorites despite being 47 years old. I'm super excited to see how the old guys are going to fare in this showdown. We also have another over 40 fighter, Igor Milehavic, who is the 2004 Croatian kickboxing champion. And I scoured the internet, relying on ChatGPT for translation, to translate from Croatian. And it looks like he trained with none other than the former K1 fighter, Mirko Krokop. And I know to a lot of listeners out there, maybe Mirko is not just a K1 fighter, but hey, I call it like I see it. Now, on the young guns side of this equation, the young lions, and in this case, it's a young grizzly because we have Claudio Istrate. Now, you probably all know that Claudio trains out of Italy, and he is originally from Romania, but he's in the mix as well, and his cannonball hands are going to do a lot of damage for sure. He's an incredibly exciting, dynamic fighter to watch, and watch out for his hands because he's a wrecking ball. So he's in the mix. And you know what? In the battle between the old lions and the young lions, it's really hard to choose because we got a lot of action to look forward to. But seeing that I'm on the old guys team now, I am kind of rooting in my heart of hearts for the old guys to put on a good show. Although it'd be great for Istrate to qualify for the year-end finals here in Japan as well. So we'll see. But wait, that's not all. We also have a super bantamweight tournament that will be held on July the 7th, in addition to the 70 kilogram and under world championship tournament finals. And that is going to feature eight fighters. It's really the qualifying round, and each of the victors of these fights will go on to the finals, which is the 29th of September, I believe. There is the notable Akihiro Kaneko, which I'm sure you all remember, won the belt back from Kumara. This was last year in September, September 10th, and their showdown was incredible. In fact, it was voted best fight of 2023 by the great people at Beyond Kick. And so their showdown is going to be, if they make it into the finals, it would not be a trilogy, but a quadrilogy. And gosh, it gives Kumara a chance to settle the score, and it gives Kaneko a chance once and for all to show that he's the man, he would be able to score a neat hat trick against Kumara. So that would be incredible to watch. But I've been going on for way too long. So that's the news from K1 this week.
Okay, folks, this week we are deep diving on the Polish hope for the K1 Max Final Tournament on July 7 in Tokyo. And that man is Kasper Mazinski. Now, Kasper Mazinski was a complete unknown before his win in the Final 16. Like I said on the commentary that night, Kasper had won some titles here and there, but nothing major. We all know there are dozens of so-called world titles in kickboxing, but only a few that really matter. And Mazinski never held one of the titles that actually matters. I saw Kasper only briefly before the fight. I didn't get much of a chance to interact with him. In our brief conversation, he seemed down to earth, quiet, very, very subtle. There's nothing flashy about Mazinski, nothing boastful. I want to say he had a quiet confidence about him, almost like he was thinking, okay, nobody here knows who I am, and that's fine, because after this fight, you're all going to know my name. From the opening bell in his fight against Stoyan Koprolevensky, we see the emergence of a stiff Mazinski. His arms look rigid. The guard is decent. No elbow flare. I like seeing that. But it's almost too tight of a guard. And we will discover in this first round that it's not an impenetrable guard either, as Stoyan lands his right hands that are really concerning looking at this first round for Kasper Mazinski. Stoyan has the flashiness. He's got the flair. He's got those wonderful high kicks. But you can tell that Kasper Mazinski is going to be one of those workhorse-like fighters, a guy who puts on the hard work and, you know, he works the mind. There's no flashiness. It's all business. He keeps coming forward. He keeps hacking away. All that's missing is the hard hat, really, and the lantern. And about 40 seconds into the first round, we get the first taste of Polish power when Mazinski lands a beautiful left hook that connects clean on Stoyan. Stoyan starts slinging the legs and Mazinski has a nice lead check. He's blocking all of Stoyan's kicks. Some of Stoyan's crosses get through and Kasper shows us that he's got a decent chin, as all Polish fighters do. I don't think I've ever met one Polish fighter, be it in kickboxing or boxing or mixed martial arts, that ever had a glass jaw or at least a questionable chin. They've all got really good chins to back up their natural, you know, Polish power. On the inside, Mazinski has some deceptively fast hands. He throws an uppercut to hook combination that's a winner. He's not afraid to trade with Stoyan. He's earning the respect of Stoyan. And just before the 10-second clapper sounds, Stoyan backs Kasper into a corner with some thunderous blows, big-time leather. And Kasper wears it and fires back. The heart on this Polish guy. He tags Stoyan with the right hand and backs off Stoyan completely. It is wonderful. And it really did signal to myself and I'm sure the rest of the watching world that, man, this guy is for real. We didn't know about Kasper Mazinski 9 minutes ago. We sure know about him a lot more now. We know he's got tremendous heart and intestinal fortitude, which again is so characteristic of Polish fighters over the years. None more so than my old buddy, former K1 European Grand Prix champion, Paul Sawinski, the best Polish K1 fighter in history. Paul was always full of heart and grit and determination. And it's something that Kasper Mazinski has in bucket loads as well. In the first minute of the second round, Stoyan's length is giving Kasper some problems, but Kasper continues to come forward. He's waiting for his moment, or rather, he's trying to create his moment to get inside Stoyan's long techniques. It's not a great second round from Kasper. He has trouble cutting off the movement of Stoyan. He has trouble catching Stoyan clean. It's an easy 10-9 for Stoyan, I feel. And I say that after two rounds, Stoyan is up 20-18. Third round, Kasper has more success. Now he's starting to get on the inside of Stoyan. He's hooking. He's bringing in the uppercuts. He's giving Stoyan no breathing room. He's staying glued to him. With about 40 seconds to go, the game-changing moment occurs. Kasper drops Stoyan. The unknown Pole drops a superstar. They're inside the phone booth. They're trading savage blows. Stoyan throws a big looping left hook, and the loop is too long. It leaves the side of his face open, and that's all the window that Kasper Mazinski needs. The Pole launches a hybrid overhand right hook off his right hand and nails Stoyan clean on the jaw. Polish freaking power. Stoyan goes down to one knee, and it's enough to turn the tide, and Kasper goes on to win the decision. Shock. Big shock. Stoyan Koplodzinski, so many people's pre-tournament favorite, including one of mine, is out. Kasper Mazinski, a man who nobody knew. And don't lie, because honestly, if you were outside of Poland, you didn't know who Kasper Mazinski was. You know, some small championship that he held. You had no idea, be honest. But now, this guy punches his ticket to July 7, and the whole world knows about him. That's the beauty also of K1, isn't it? That it can find these unknown fighters and overnight transform them into global superstars. Now, on July 7, Kasper will take on Zora Akopian. It is going to take another Herculean effort to upset the bewitching prince. But I'm not going to write off Kasper Mazinski. And you shouldn't either. He's not flashy. He's not electrifying. He's all business. And the business of Polish power is good. It's really good. I have Zora coming in as the favorite. No doubt about that in my mind. Akopian is a class act. He is almost flawless in his performances. His combinations are superb. His movement is impeccable. He applies pressure from start to finish. Mazinski's got that workmanlike X factor about him as well, that he could maybe pull off another massive upset. Do not miss that one. Quarterfinal, July 7, Akopian versus Mazinski. But that's enough from me about Kasper Mazinski. Let's go now to Poland and speak to the man himself, Polish power, Kasper Mazinski. Kasper, thank you so much for joining me on K1 Battlecast. How was it that you got signed to compete in the K1 Max Final 16? And what was your reaction when you got the call up?
I won 3 weeks before four-man tournament in Italy, where I meet Brunelli, the samurai strength. And the price of this tournament was ticket to K1, but not that soon. But someone get out, and I get the spot. When I get the call up, I was very excited about it. I waited all my life to get that opportunity.
Did you grow up a fan of K1? And tell me about your experiences of watching K1 as a youngster.
That was a big part of my dreams when I was younger, to be there, compete there. I was a big fan of the Puakov, Saki, Peter Ertz, and all the top fighters. I watched them, and that was big fun for me.
Kasper, I've got to ask you, who is your favorite K1 fighter of all time and why?
I think my favorite fighter is Gohan Saki. A pure dynamite. His fights are always excitement. Pure power.
There are so many great K1 matches in history. If you could choose just one, though, what's the greatest K1 match you ever watched?
I think Zambidis versus Jagit. Full of action. Great fight. I think the best one I ever watched.
Great match. Good choice. You came into the Final 16 as a relative unknown. Is that a role you enjoy playing as the unknown underdog?
Okay, I never got the opportunity to show my skills before. I know that nobody knows me, but I always believe in myself, in my team, and what we do, how we do. Now it's my time to get more attention from the fans, to show them that I'm worth to watch.
What were your thoughts when it was announced that you would fight Stoyan in the final 16?
That was after two fights, one before. I thought that the opportunity may not come anymore, so I took a risk.
What was Stoyan like as an opponent? How do you rate him?
He's the world class fighter, one of the best I ever faced. So it was great experience for me. I need a fight like this to improve my skills and my experience as a fighter.
What was the recipe for success, Kasper, against Stoyan that night?
I put everything in the third round. I know I have to push myself to the limit, and I did it. I get a knockdown, he get a count, and I won the fight.
So on July 7th, you were going to face the bewitching prince Zora Akopian, and again people are saying you're a big underdog. Does that bother you at all now? Or do you think you deserve to be the favorite, or, you know, do you relish being the underdog?
Well, it doesn't bother me at all. I really don't care about it. I have work to do. Zora fight with more top guys, but I think I got the weapons to get win over him. And now I just focused on the camp, on the work, and we'll face him on July 7th, and we'll see who's better. But
what are your thoughts on Zora and how he fights?
I watch his fights with Natruk, so I can see he see the fights, he know how to react, he got a dangerous right hand, so I have to stay focus on the whole fight.
Kasper Buakaw is being mentioned as the possible wild card for the tournament. What are your thoughts on Buakaw perhaps entering the K1 Max final on July 7?
Buakaw is the top star of the Muay Thai and kickboxing. He has his fans get all over the world. You may not see any fight in Muay Thai, but in here Buakaw you will see that guy, so he's a top star. It's very good for promotion, but a crazy thing for me to fight with him.
Kasper, tell me about your camp for the K1 Max final. Have you started camp yet? How long will your camp be? And what does your training consist of every day?
So I will start main base for my camp next week. And now I build a strength base. And the next weeks will be go on Monday morning conditioning and strength and power. At the evening I will be hit some pads and a lot of punching. And Tuesday I'm going good conditioning. A little bit lighter and a light spar at the evening. Wednesday will be the same as Monday. On the Thursday we will see my mobility training on the morning, and I will hit a light spar with pads. Friday recovery at the morning with my physiotherapist. And I did hard sparring, and Sunday I will go really hard strength and conditioning with a lot of punching. And Sunday I will take a rest. So it will be hard time for me, but I really enjoy it. So you will see the best version of Kasper Muszynski in July.
You know, I just got to say that I love the fact that his family's in the background. It's so wholesome, and he's such a doting father to young Adam, and he just really is taking care of his family, and I don't know, pulls my heartstrings, gotta admit. And okay, well, that was the interview with Kasper Mezhinsky. Thank you very much to him for joining our show. Sorry about the audio quality. We weren't able to fix it to my satisfaction, but we hope you enjoyed it nonetheless. And okay, well, moving on to the question that we have for today. Michael, we have a question from Max from Chicago, who asks, is it true that Kimbo Slice was once almost signed to join K1? Well, I'll tell my part of the story after you answer the question. Okay, here we go.
Max, that is a wonderful question. Back in 2008, at the K1 World Grand Prix, Kimbo Slice was signed to the commentary position alongside myself, Mike Kogan, Ray Sefo, and Ernesto, who's to commentate the Grand Prix. With the thought in mind from K1 that they were going to sign Kimbo to fight K1, not mixed martial arts, but fight K1 in 2009. So they thought, bring Kimbo in. He's got a large following. He'd be great on the commentary. Stick him on there. Let him be ringside. Let him soak up the atmosphere of K1. Let him see the biggest and best, you know, martial arts promotion on the planet, and let's sign the guy. So there we are sitting ringside, and as you know, the K1 2008 Grand Prix was an amazing tournament, full of drama. I still say it's arguably my favorite K1 Grand Prix to watch over and over. It is so rewatchable. And one of the reasons why that Grand Prix is so rewatchable is because of Bada Hari's performance. Bada Hari in the quarterfinal met Peter Ertz, and he came out like a house on fire. I mean, this was Bada Hari at his murderous best. He showed no respect whatsoever to Peter Ertz. He went, you know, hell for leather on Mr. K1 from the opening bell, and he stops Peter Ertz, and he does so early. It is a violent performance from Bada Hari. And there's Kimbo, ringside, commentating on it. Semi-final for Bada Hari, he takes on Errol Zimmerman, one of the greatest K1 Grand Prix fights of all time. This fight had everything you want to see from a K1 fight. It really did. It is up there in my top 10 of all time. It may even squeeze into the top 5 of all time for sheer entertainment, because Errol Zimmerman drops Bada Hari. And really, a lot of us thought that Bada was done. Bada recovers from this tremendously brutal knockdown by the Bone Crusher. I mean, this knockdown showed why they called Errol Zimmerman the Bone Crusher. He was just cracking into the jaw of Bada Hari with this knockdown. Bada recovers from it. And this was the amazing thing about Bada that sort of exemplified his career, is that Bada could take a knock, could go down, but it's when Bada got up that you had to be careful, because that's when he became super dangerous. He got up from the knockdown against Errol, and he comes back and knocks out Errol with one of the greatest K1 Grand Prix KOs you will ever see. If you watch the replay of it, Errol's legs cross each other before he falls to the canvas. Whenever a fighter's legs cross over, you are done. You are done before you hit the canvas. Your eyes are rolling in your head. You are traveling on the astral plane. You are seeing dead relatives from hundreds of years ago. That is what happened to Errol Zimmerman. It was one of the most emphatic, one of the most unforgettable, and one of the most violent knockouts we've ever seen in the K1 Grand Prix. And again, Kimbo Slice is there ringside commentating on it. In the final, Bada versus Remy Bonjasky. We all know the story. Bada became the first fighter ever to be red carded in the K1 Grand Prix final. Kakuta brandished him the red card. He's out of there. He had a brain fart. He was wrestling Remy. He stomped on Remy's head. It was the closest that Bada would ever have come to winning the K1 World Grand Prix. It was unfortunate. It concluded a wonderfully spellbinding, dramatic tournament. And all the time, Kimbo Slice was there. Take nothing away from all the other combatants in that tournament as well, particularly Remy Bonjasky. Everyone went into that 2008 K1 World Grand Prix with the intention to kill one another. So The tournament wraps up. We go off air and, you know, Ray and I and Mike are talking to Kimbo and we're like, hey, you know, how did you enjoy it? And how did you enjoy being ringside? What did you think of K1? Kimbo's mind was blown. I don't think that Kimbo had seen a lot of K1, let alone a lot of kickboxing. And I could tell straight away that while he was impressed, he was blown away by the production values, the high level of fighting, the drama, the explosiveness. He didn't want any part of it. So to get back to your question, Max, yes, K1 were looking to sign Kimbo Slice to fight for the organization in 2009. But after they put Kimbo ringside at the 08 Grand Prix to commentate, Kimbo said, I don't want none of that. I'm not going to get in there with the likes of this bloody Hong Man Choi dude, the likes of this Peter Ertz guy, the likes of this Jerome Labana, and especially not against the likes of Bada Hari. And you know that that was going to happen. You know they would have done Bada Hari versus Kimbo Slice because that would have been an absolute blockbuster. Are you kidding? The bad boy of K1 takes on the backyard ultra famous street fighter, the YouTube sensation, would have been a blockbuster, but Kimbo didn't want any part of it. So it was no real failure of K1 unable to sign Kimbo. They threw the money at him. They threw the opportunity at him. What they shouldn't have maybe had thrown at him in hindsight was a job as a commentator ringside during one of the most brutal Grand Prix of all time. Because like I said, Kimbo said, no, not for me. Thank you very much. And pursued a mixed martial arts career. Great question, though, Max from Chicago. Thanks for asking it. And glad I could lend a little peek behind the scenes that, you know, this is part of the beauty of doing K1 Battlecast, Jonathan, is that my experience in K1 goes all the way back, you know, to the 90s and having known so many of the K1 fighters on a very personal basis to be able to share these behind the scenes stories that fans aren't privy to. So when I get a question like that from Max, I enjoy telling these stories. And fans, please do write in with your questions on social media. Jonathan's going to plug the email again in a moment and let me know what behind the scenes stories you want to find out the truth about. And I will reveal them right here on K1 Battlecast every week.
You know, I couldn't agree more, Michael. It's really interesting to listen to that behind the scenes scuttlebutt and to figure out, like, you know, who was where at what time. My perspective, of course, was a little bit different that night because, as we've mentioned, Kimbo Slice was sitting in my seat and I was relegated to kind of walking around the stadium looking a bit dejected. And I had no idea that all the drama that was going on in the announcer seat. So that was a fascinating dive into that particular perspective. It's always interesting to see people walking around the back, you know, behind the scenes. And, you know, each of them has their own story. So, all right, let's wrap it up.
Well, there you have it, a deep dive episode with Kasper Mazinski of Poland. Will he be the dark horse? Will he be the underdog? If you're a betting man, are you putting a good, decent flutter on Kasper Mazinski on July 7th? Jonathan, before we go, I'm just going to get your thoughts because I know you're a huge fan of Kasper. He won you over in the final 16, but I also know you love yourself a little of the bewitching prince, the bewitching nobleman, Zora Akopian. How do you see it going down on July 7th?
Oh, God, put me on the spot, will you? You know what? I am such a huge fan of Kasper Mazinski. Like, the heart that he shows and just the incredible willpower to just keep moving forward no matter what. It must be a nightmare to face someone like that who just won't back down. And who better to do it than the bewitching nobleman, Zora Akopian, because I had to go back and watch his fight against Taras Nachuk just to kind of see what it was that you were talking about. You said you made this comparison with Giorgio Petrosian, and I didn't get it last time, and I think maybe I was just too busy with what was going on in front of me, and I didn't get a chance to really look at the fight between those two, but he is such an artist, and your comparison to Petrosian really struck me. His ability to just dodge by centimeters, just get a great feel for his opponent's range and to to weather their attacks so adroitly. Man, I don't know who's going to win this one. You know, in my heart of hearts, I want Mazinski to win because I love the story that he presents, the story of the loving father and the family man. But I gotta say, the Bewitching Nobleman is sure to throw some magical punches into the mix, and you know, I really look forward to this match. So you know, those are my thoughts. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, brother, you hit it on the head. It is going to be an extraordinary contest, man. I cannot wait. Jonathan, thanks once again for another great K1 Battlecast. Folks, wherever you're listening around the world, thank you so much for joining us. Next week, we've got another deep dive into another K1 Max Final 8 competitor. It could be the big scorching mosquito from Brazil, Dengue Silva. It could be Zora Akopian himself. We've also got some very special guests lined up who will further deep dive into the K1 Max. It's all coming your way. Make sure you download us every Friday. We drop a new episode. But until next one, I'm Michael Schiavello.
And I'm Jonathan Scheer.
Thanks for joining us on K1 Battlecast.
You can catch all of our social medias on the various platforms. We have Twitter, we have X, we have whatever you want to call it. We have Instagram. We've got Facebook. It's all there in the show notes. Also, you can write to us at the official K1 Battlecast email address. Send all your questions there so that Michael can answer them. And we get amazing answers like the one we had today. You can write us if you are so disposed at k1battlecast@k-1.world. I know, it's a weird way to end an email address, and that's the way we do it here. So it's no hyphens in the word itself, k1battlecast@k-1.world. You can find it all out in the show notes. Why listen to me rant about it here? Hope you all have a great week, and we'll catch you next Friday. See you around.